I met Jacob during my internship for my counseling program. Jacob stands out as one of my favorites. He is a 19-year-old black male with a history of significant personal trauma, minor criminal activity, and profound drug addiction. He always called me dog, as in, yo, dog, or what up, dog? And I liked this very much. I'm a middle-class, middle-aged white guy, and this is as close to being a gangster as I'm ever going to get. Jacob's story involved seeing a lot of friends hurt and a few of them killed on the west side streets of Jacksonville. He and his friends were frequently hassled by the police, and they were often arrested for using and selling drugs. But the most dramatic story that he ever shared with me had nothing to do with that life. Jacob told me about an incident with two of his brothers and his family that occurred in 2017. One of the beautiful things about Jacob is he had this innocent honesty about him. And he described his then 10-year-old brother as being kind of a fat kid, chubby, and not too smart. But he said it with incredible love. And apparently, this brother really enjoyed home-cooked French fries. And having seen their mother cook these fries many times, he decided to try it for himself one night while he was playing video games in their living room and everyone else was asleep. Their mother had always set the countertop electric fryer to 400 degrees for the fries, but the little brother, because he's impatient and hungry and 10 years old, set the fryer to 550, the maximum setting. He waited a few minutes, and the oil began to bubble, and then he started throwing in fistfuls of frozen French fries into the now smoking cauldron of oil. The immediate reaction was a volcano of French fries and smoking oil and steam, and quickly after that, fire. The kitchen caught fire. So having set the kitchen on fire, the little brother ran screaming to the parents' bedroom, woke them up, and the parents quickly got everyone out of the house, including Jacob. Or at least they thought they got everyone out of the house. After a hasty head count, they realized that Jacob's middle brother, a 15-year-old, was missing. Jacob told me that he wanted more than anything to run into the burning house that night and drag his brother out. Standing there in his boxer shorts, no t-shirt, bare feet on the wet lawn with his parents and other siblings, watching the house burn, and he was paralyzed with sleepiness and terror, standing there on the lawn, waiting and wailing with his family as they heard the fire trucks' sirens beginning to rumble in from the distance. In our encounter with Jesus this morning, he is explaining to his disciples the meaning of his incarnation. The very reason that God became a human and came to live among us. He said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I am bringing fire to the earth, and I wish the flames were already burning." Already burning. Fire can be terrifying. Fire scares us and we become paralyzed. Seeing the flames of division and strife light up, humans frequently become frozen in their tracks, unable to think clearly, unable to do anything, unable to move. Can you imagine that less than 160 years ago, some Americans literally, legally owned other Americans? Like, slavery is less than 160 years ago. We did that. Our forefathers and our foremothers owned other humans. Just 99 years ago, today, on this very day, August 18th, 1920, the women of America won for themselves the right to vote throughout the United States. Can you imagine that? So 99 years ago yesterday, most of the women of the United States could not vote. I challenge you, men, to look around you at your sisters in Christ and think about that. Think about them not being able to vote and how ridiculous that seems now. How despicable that seems now. Less than 65 years ago, black Americans had to ride on the back of the bus whenever they used public transportation. And due to all kinds of segregationist laws, minorities, and that's not just racial minorities, but it's minorities of all kinds, still have restricted access to education, to jobs, to health care, and to other resources to this very day. It takes fire to change things. Jesus knew this, and it's why he kindles a fire in the heart of every Christian. Jesus is filled with fire, and he unites his flame with the divine sparks that were put into us at our creation. And when we let them, and especially when we encourage them in each other, these flames burn with incredible intensity. When you lower the temperature of a situation, when you take the energy out of a system, sometimes you can do it through propaganda, sometimes you can do it through oppression, sometimes you can do it just by relying on basic human apathy. But if you take the energy out of a system, people become frozen in place. Also, fear lowers the temperature. You lower the temperature, you freeze the situation, and people can't move, or they won't. As Martin Luther King wrote from the Birmingham jail, "Justice too long delayed is justice denied." And this is why Jesus Christ sent us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire. Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, who came to earth, who died for us, who was buried, and who rose again in triumph over our sin, in triumph over the bad things that we do, sent us the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, no, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three, father against son, mother against daughter. Division and passion are a part of the Christian life. Division and passion are a part of being Christian. Jacob's brother made it out of that house. The firefighters showed up. They busted the front door in. They rushed into his bedroom where he had been trapped, and they carried him to safety. He was badly burned on his legs and on his hands, and he spent months in the hospital and then additional months in recovery. And he's fully able, but he will carry the physical scars from that fire for the rest of his life. Fire can be terrifying. But fire is already in us. Fire is the fuel which underpins all of our personal striving for better educations, for nicer homes, for health care and security for ourselves and our families. There's already a fire in each one of us to have a nicer life, to have a better life for us and for the people we love. Jesus does not want us to suffer unnecessarily, but he does want us to have a spiritual fire ignited in our hearts and in our souls. He wants this roaring flame to live within each of us. He wants us to look at oppression and unfairness and indignity toward other people, and he wants us to burn passionately to change that. He wants us to feel the same rage and intense emotion that he himself feels. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Spirit. They are all one. And that one created us. That one is our holy parent. That one knows that we are all brothers and sisters because we are all the children of the one. Today, we are called by the Holy Spirit of God in Christ to burn with fire for justice, for goodwill, for fairness, and for equal treatment for all people. God wants us. In fact, God demands us to leave our frozen positions and move forward together, uniting with God's power to help and to support and to walk alongside every person who is oppressed or forgotten, sharing with them and gaining strength from them God's love and God's Spirit to bring forth the freedom of his almighty kingdom right here and right now. Amen.